This is a Rabble Podcast Network show.
Rabble.ca.
Hi, I'm Wayne McPhail, and I was one of the people that originally started the Rabble Podcast Network, and I think that you should support the Rabble Podcast Network and Rabble.ca because there's no other place where you're going to get such a diversity of voices speaking truth to power.
The Rabble Podcast Network is 10 years old this year. Show your support by going to rabble.ca/donate.
You're listening to Red Eye on Vancouver Cooperative Radio, CFRO 100.5 FM.
The Canadian government is wasting billions of healthcare dollars a year by not implementing a national pharmacare program. So says noted economist Hugh McKenzie in a report commissioned by the Canadian Federation of Nurses Unions. The CFNU released the report leading up to the First Minister's meeting in December, where premiers met with the federal government to talk about clean growth, climate change, and healthcare. Hugh McKenzie found that Canadians are paying among the world's highest prices for prescription drugs. Linda Silas is president of the Canadian Federation of Nurses Unions, and she joins me on the line today from Ottawa. Hello, Linda.
Hi, James.
The report says that Canada wasted $62 billion in a decade by not having a national pharmacare program. How did Hugh McKenzie come up with that figure?
He went back to when we negotiated the last health accord in 2004 and then took 2 years, let's say it would take 2 years to implement a national pharmacare program, and then looked at all the waste. And he didn't even touch what we're spending in hospitals, long-term care facilities, or what is paid by the province and the communities for certain patients. It was what we are paying provincially, the private drug companies, what we're paying as employees who are covered under our employer's coverage, and out of pocket. And that's where this $62 billion came, and a pure waste. You know, if you bring it down, it's $17 million a day that we're wasting because we're not having one big plan.
So where would the money savings come from if we were to have a national pharmacare program?
What McKenzie was able to do for us is to look at every province and territory. The provinces pay around 33%. The federal government really only pay a small percentage, between 2 and 3%. Then you have your WCB cases, and then you have your private insurance. You have your insurers that are from other sources, and you're out of pocket. You're out of pocket, it's close to 25% in your province, which that's individual citizens that don't have an employer sponsor plan and pay it out of pocket. All of that increases the cost. So it's like if you'd be shopping for your groceries and you do 10 different stores and not pay attention to buy the same thing, the cost can go up very quickly. And that's what McKenzie showed us. The fact that we have different plans, different administration fees, and then different prescribing habits. We do not follow the evidence where science is telling us where to prescribe the best drugs or the generic drugs and the formulas. I could go on and on this. But the fact we don't follow the evidence in prescribing, the fact we do not buy in bulk for our whole country, and the fact we have different quote-unquote plans to cover Canadians is where we're wasting the money. And he did not touch at all the fact that 1 in 10 Canadians cannot even afford any of this. He just talked about what we were paying.
So leaving aside the money for a moment, how would health outcomes change for patients if we had a free or at least low-cost prescription drugs?
What we were able to do in the past, because as nurses working in the system, we see patients every day, and family docs would see it also. When patients cannot afford their medication, they come in. Either a family doctor will be lucky enough to be able to give a sample to this family or patient, and we see them arriving in the emergency department. They have to be hospitalized. And, you know, the cost of hospitalization. So when you look at the cost of hospitalization between, you know, just for a day, it's $800 to $1,000 a day. All of that is because they're either not taking the prescription drugs or they're not taking it properly because they don't have enough education to or instruction to take them properly, or they are splitting a pill in two because they can't afford it. So that's one area. The other area, of course, is the complications to patients. A physician or nurse practitioner will prescribe you high blood pressure pills, and you can't afford it, so you don't take it. Well, 5 years down the road, you finish with a heart attack or a stroke. Well, that's a personal cost, of course, but it's also a cost to the system. So it is this vicious circle that we're in, and we're one of the only developed countries that is in this vicious circle because we do not have one plan to cover prescription medication just like we cover our healthcare services.
So how much support does a national pharmacare program have in Canada?
From the general public, it has a high level of support. Depending on the polls we do, it's always between 75-80%. It's still foreign for most Canadians because we don't have one. British Columbia and the province of Quebec have very different prescription drug programs, if I can call them that. British Columbia knows what they have, Quebec knows what they have, and the rest of the province and territories, well, it's based on insurance programs. So very different. But they do agree when they hear or if they're suffering themselves that when 1 in 10 Canadians cannot afford their medication, they end up in the hospital. They know that vicious circle. So they support that we spend more money into paying for a national program, which would be based on the evidence and which we would be bulk buying all the medication for the country and saving money and covering 100% of our patients.
You mentioned the last health accord back in 2004. What sort of support did a pharmacare program have from the premiers?
That was quite interesting because the premiers, as you know, they have an annual meeting every year called the Council of Federation. And they had their meeting in July, and I happened to be there. And they came out of that meeting together. It was the first consensus for a national pharmacare program. Then they met the Prime Minister, then Prime Minister Paul Martin, in September and negotiated the health accord. In the health accord of 2004, they negotiated a national pharmaceutical strategy. So play on words. And the plan of the strategy was to start up a national pharmacare program because everyone realized we won't be able to wake up January 1st, and now we're talking about 2018, and have a national pharmacare program that everyone will be covered under one formulary, and we'd be saving, as Marc-André Gagnon did for us, more than $11 billion a year. $11 million a year, sorry. That won't happen that quickly. But what the 2004 accord said was we needed to start the process now. So in 10 years, we will have a full functioning program that will serve everyone and save money to all our provinces and territories so they can reinvest in mental health, in care for the aging society, and all the other needs we would have in our system. If we would have done that 10 years ago, we wouldn't have wasted $62 billion. We would now have a full functioning plan. So our ask to the federal health minister is appoint a committee of experts and start. Start it now. Don't wait for another federal election promises because it will take many months, probably many years, to implement such a program.
It seems like such an obvious thing to implement. I mean, we're going to save lots of money. People are going to be healthier. So what is the problem? Why is it not started?
The problem is the federal government is not the one paying the biggest share of our prescription drug programs across the country. The provinces pay between, Nunavut pays close to 25%, and then Ontario pays 40%. While the federal government's between 2 and 3%. So you have the province and territories are saying, look, this is costing us way too much. We're paying the bulk share, you know, around 40%, and the federal government is only paying 2-3% of prescription drugs. So it would cost them that amount of money extra to implement one for the country. And that's probably the biggest stop, because they don't hear from Canadians every day like our ministers of health hear from Canadians every day that I can't afford my medication. And the only way to resolve it is a national plan. And why? We're a small country, large in geographic, but in population, we're quite small. So we have to join our forces, and it has to come nationally with national standards and bring all the experts into one shop. So until political pressure or public pressure is put on the federal government, it's hard to get them to move and spend more money.
So really the opposition is the federal government. They're not willing to implement this program. Does that have anything to do with them not wanting to raise taxes?
I wouldn't call it opposition as much as the obstacle, because our current health ministers do believe that we have to find a way to reduce the cost of prescription drugs. She's more thinking we have to do it, let's reduce the cost first, and then we will look at covering 100% of Canadians. The experts tell me that we have to do it at the same time. The only way we'll be able to reduce the cost is if we cover 100% of Canadians and we have one single payer for it. But the experts will deal with that. So if we can convince the federal health minister and the prime minister to at least bring the expert at one table and start the process with the province and territories, Canadians and our provincial health departments will be winners in all of this.
Well, I want to thank you very much for taking the time and speaking with me about this, Linda.
I thank you, James.
I've been speaking with Linda Silas, president of the Canadian Federation of Nurses Unions, and you're listening to Red Eye on Vancouver Cooperative Radio, CFRO 100.5 FM.